Today, we are going to talk about three key areas that meeting planners always look at when they're deciding to book a speaker. Come listen.
Welcome to the Behind Her Brand podcast with your host, Kimberly Spencer. Every week, join Kimberly and her guest for inspiring interviews with passionate business builders, corporate leaders, and catalysts of change. Plus, we will be sharing business and career building strategies and tools that you can use to grow. So let's dive into today's episode.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to another Behind Her Brand podcast. I am your host, Kimberly DeShiel Spencer. And today we're going to talk about a topic that I get asked about quite a bit. And this is for those who want to become a professional speaker. Now, that being said, being a professional speaker doesn't mean you have to do it full time. You may have a full time career and you just really love speaking about your area of expertise. That can also fall underneath professional speaker. You may want to do it full time. That falls underneath professional speaking. So professional speaking isn't also limited to a stage. Okay. And I'm going to share a little bit more about that a little bit later. But let me share my background around this particular area and why I feel incredibly qualified to speak on this. I've been in business for about 25 years, and I started off with developing a professional speaker management agency where my team and I handled everything from bookings to contracts to shipping products to air and travel information. We did everything, and it was a really, really successful business. I learned a lot. But I also learned too that, and this is why we switched our business model to UMPACT, is I felt more empowered to show people how to do everything we were doing for them, how they can do it for themselves or for their respective teams to do with them. Now, you may say, well, Kim, that was a long time ago. So how are you still like knowledgeable in this area? Well, here's the thing. Many people don't know this. Meeting planners meet often, not just in the association. I'm not talking about that. There are corporate meeting planners that come together in different industries and they meet for a day and they review different speakers. Okay. And it's literally one of the most incredible experiences to see how different groups review speakers. And so I get invited to them every single year and a half for the last decade. And on the college sector, they do the same thing. It's a room full of college coordinators who are booking for the year. And what they do is they say, oh, I love this person. Another school may say, oh, I like them too. You're not too far from us, are you? It's like, no. So what they do is they try to book a speaker and then try to see if the speaker will go a couple of hours down the road to the next school so they can share on costs. So that's a very, very real thing. Now, that all being said, I want to share with you three things that meeting planners look for, because it is very, very bothersome to me whenever I see so much information being put out there and people assuming that that's the right thing that meeting planners look for. And in reality, they don't. Like, for example, one sheets, meeting planners can care less. It's actually the one thing they care nothing about at all. So if people are charging you or saying you got to have a one sheet, to me, that's almost like just a big red flag on a play that person doesn't know what meeting planners really and truly look for. Okay. So let's jump right into it. First and foremost, they're going to be looking to make sure that you are really and truly the subject matter expert that you're presenting yourself to them to be. And here's the thing. That might sound simple. You may be like, okay, I'm duh. I mean, I wouldn't tell them I'm a leadership expert if I'm not, right? Well, here's the thing. If you're trying to go for a contract for $5, $10, $15, $20, $25,000, what have you, whatever the fee might be, in today's time, they're definitely going to do a little bit more due diligence in terms of who they're bringing in, because companies are being a lot more cautious and a lot more thoughtful, if you will, in the process of bringing in speakers. So when they pull up your website, they're going to be looking to see, is this person really representing who they say that they are? They're going to look at your social media. They're going to look at your areas of proof, if you will. Like, if you're an expert and you say, I've been doing this for 20 plus years, they're going to be looking at, well, do they have a blog? Do they have a podcast? Do they have a book? What do they have that will let me see who they really are in that space? Because even saying you're a leadership expert, truthfully, it can be a little bit vague depending on, The people that are the most specific about who and what they are is going to draw the attention of the meeting planner. And what they would do in these meetings, which is so cool, they'll bring up your profile and they'll look. And sometimes they'll have, not sometimes, I'm sorry, they will always have discussions on how they view your profile. You know, like, well, does this seem like someone who's leading this, that, and the other based off of what they're saying and their submission? And what they're not trying to do is critique you, is not that. But a lot of times when they're trying to make decisions on, okay, I want to bring him in, we're having this conference, they know that their sister company is having another conference around that same time. They're always trying to figure out how they can bring in as many speakers with cost-saving benefits, but also who's going to be really amazing for their respective audiences. Now, this is something that I used to do for speakers, and it's called block booking. We would always book at one city, and we would try to book up multiple engagements all around them, so it maximized their revenue potential, and also it helps maximize, obviously, their ability to speak in multiple places. So look at your entry points and ask yourself, is everything in alignment? And you'll be surprised that if you look sometimes, you may find, oh, if someone looked this up, they may be confused because I'm selling this. I also got two side businesses, and you're doing them all on all your platforms, which is why you got to be very strategic about how you place information on your platforms. Like, I have multiple businesses, and I try to make sure that on my main page, I don't put all of them on that page at all. I have respective pages for them. I have respective social media handles for them. And I try to keep everything as clean. Sometimes they cross over. But for the most part, people know me for marketing and branding. And my businesses reflect that. So if someone wants to look me up, they will see that. So you got to ask yourself, what do they see when they look you up? That's first and foremost. Okay. Second, this is very, very important. Video is key, but what I find so often happens that people feel like they have to have this overly produced video for meeting planners to say yes to. Meeting planners are not looking at that. They're looking at video to see, how do they speak? What are they saying? Are they engaging? So if you have video, you need to make sure that you're producing, obviously, a good video. You don't want to do something by your iPhone, well, even though some iPhones today are absolutely amazing. But you want to make sure that you're presenting good footage, not just of you on the stage, but they want to see audience participation. They want to see, okay, are people engaged? Do people look like they're sleeping? If you have a videographer who's coming out to film you, please, please, please tell them, don't put the video on someone checking their phone the whole time or someone dozing off while you're speaking. And then you submit saying that you're an engaging, interactive, humorous speaker. You know what I'm saying? So you don't want that to happen because they're going to look at the audience and be like, they're bored. They look unengaged. They're not going to think that you're going to be great for their audience. You don't have to be the most funniest or the most humorous. You don't have to be, it's another one I can think of that I know sometimes fall into a trap, being really energetic and really high energy. That may not be your natural personality, but you may be really good at warming up a room. You may be very good at sharing something that is so like, wow, that people are like tuned in and they leaning in a little bit differently. You may be really good in your respective area. Make sure that shows up on the video. Make sure that meeting planners can get a good feel of that. Okay. That is very key. And the third and final thing is content. When they're going to your respective outlets of information, all your entry points to your business, they're reviewing what you're saying. It's not just the video and hearing you. It's not just making sure, okay, they really are who they say they are. Now, what are they actually saying? What are they actually giving in terms of content? They're going to want to know your train of thought. If you are still talking about the same thing in, say, human resources that was being done 20 years ago, and you're providing that same framework, same this, same that, then they're going to be like, ah, you already got people like that already in-house. We don't need to do that. I want to bring in someone that's different. Like, I had a client, and she did a lot in the, I would say, the leadership development area, team building and all of that. And those are very big buzzwords. We all know that. But what she did, she introduced improv because she loved the theater. She went to college for theater. She loved the whole idea of, let's do something fun. Let's go and talk to these corporate people. Let's go and make it interactive, but let's add in some fun improv, get the audience involved. And I'm going to tell y'all, her business blew up. Because people love the idea that, yeah, she's talking about team dynamics. And yes, she's talking about leadership principles. And yes, she's talking about conflict resolution and all those different things. But she's throwing in the improv. And so she has a team of people that are theater people, but they're also professionals. And they would come in and they'll do these most amazing, fun skits is what I'll call them. Okay. And they were getting booked so much. It was such an amazing, amazing, I would say approach, and to taking something that, yeah, every company hears, but now you're throwing in something that is so unique and it's not very common, obviously, to bring that into a corporate setting. People ate it up. So that was one, her way of introducing content in a creative way. She made sure that she created some really fun interactive videos. So everything about her platform was consistent, right? Now her videos were definitely very engaging. But now when they go into her content, what are you saying to us? What are you speaking? It was always fresh and new. Like, she would take the SMART goals and came up with her own acronym for them. She would take tried and true concepts and refresh them. So it sounded a little bit different to the ear. It was absorbed a little bit differently to the audience. And so it made it very interactive. And so those are the three things that meeting planners look at. They don't look at one sheets. They don't. They don't look at how glossy your website is. Nope. Now, obviously it needs to be professional, but hey, don't get caught up in that. It has to have all these bells and whistles. They want to know the three areas that I mentioned to you. And as an added bonus, if you're going to put testimonials on your website or in your marketing materials, please don't put one initial and then the last name. Get the permission of whomever you're going to speak to, have them sign a media release so that you can utilize their information for your own marketing purposes if they're in agreement with that. And put the full name, put the name of the organization you spoke to, unless it's, sometimes I know there's some sensitivity to that, but for the most part, if they only see initial, last name, and no place, no name, no nothing, it can feel like it's not a real feedback. Okay. Like when we used to represent speakers, we would put all their meeting planners, like all the feedback we got, the meeting planner's name, the organization, and we let them know that they want to contact them directly. Let us know, and they'll have their full information. And that created trust immediately. Most times they will Google the person and call them directly, but it built trust. So they were able to verify every single statement written by every single speaker. And so they can call that respective meeting planner and get their impressions and feedback. You want to make sure that you have that trust factor there. Okay. So those are the three things. So if you're like, okay, Kim, I need to go back and check all my entry points, make sure I'm good. I need some video, create the opportunity in some way where you can get some really good video. And last but not least, make sure your content is out there, whether you're podcasting, blogging, social media, whatever it might be, make sure that you're speaking to your audience. Make sure that the information sounds fresh, sounds engaging. It's also, more importantly, it gives people real good food for thought. Make sure those things are marinated in those posts. Things that you write, things that you say, so that they can really get a sense about who you are and what your expertise level is. Okay. I hope this was helpful. We're going to be giving different tips in this space because I know so many people want to speak, and it's definitely a very, very vast audience. But please, 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 I'll end on this note. Don't limit speaking to the stage. You can speak on a podcast. Okay. You can speak in a training room. There's so many different avenues that you can speak. It doesn't have to be only the stage. And that is very important too. Okay. And that's for another day. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening to and on this episode of Behind Her Brand Podcast. Again, I'm your host, Kimberly Dishel Spencer, and you can visit us at www.behindherbrand.net.